Our topic today is acceptance. That's the overall theme. And the title again is, Don't Fight with Reality. You know that you always lose. You know that. But first, there was this old grandpa, and he walks out of the nursing home. And over there, there's three grandmas sitting on the bench. And they turn to the grandpa and say, hey, I bet you we can guess your age. The grandpa says, okay, go ahead. And the grandmas say, nope, you got to drop your trousers and spin around in a circle first. The old man says, okay, I'll do that. He does that. And the grandmas are just giggling away. They're having so much fun. And the old man says, okay, guess my age. And they all say, you're 87 years old. And the man goes, what? How did you know that? Well, all three of us were at your birthday party last night. That's funny the second time, too. So, when we fight with reality, we lose. When it's raining and we don't want it to rain, get over it. It's not happening. You're not going to affect the rain. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. There's a lot of things in life, so many things in life, that are just beyond our control. And we can fight with them to our peril, to our own suffering. Now, for me, I like the analogy of picking up the sword and going to battle, because I was pretty good at that, and really fighting life. But when I fight life, I use up a lot of energy that I could be using for adapting. For adapting and to look for another possibility. So, what's our go-to default position? It's always to fight. Why? Ah, got the answer here. Think of a little baby. When a little baby needs its diaper changed, or it's hungry, what does it do? It cries. It really pisses off mommy and daddy. So it gets its needs met. It's an automatic tightening. It's a wah. And that wah energy is still within us. That pattern of survival and getting our needs met is already in our nervous system. We're hardwired for this. So of course, when things don't go our way, the body thinks, I need to fight. Wah! So we're going to try to, you started it already. We're going to start, we're going to have a little exercise, and the little exercise is going to be, we're going to all say wah, and really do a loud wah. We're going to do it on three, and you're going to feel what it feels like in your body to go back to that little child. Okay? This is going to be three, on three now. One, two, three. Wah! It's pretty powerful, isn't it? It gets everyone's attention. It's worked. But is the strategy appropriate now in our lives? Or does it cause suffering? I think it causes, for me, it's caused a lot of suffering. A lot of suffering. My friend John I was talking with him about this talk and about acceptance, and he said, oh, man. He was working on his Austin Healey. It's an old Austin Healey car, and he was down inside the engine trying to get a bolt to start. And his back was hurting. He was bent over. He was not having a good day, and it wasn't starting, and he was going into his wah mode. In fact, he was wowing so loud, he said, I was like Yosemite Sam running around shooting off pistols. I was so upset from the cartoons times. So I said, well, what'd you do? He said, well, I had to stop. I was just too upset. I had to stop. So he went out and did some errands and changed his whole environment. And when he came back, he had possibilities. What he did in the moment was he put down his sword, which opened himself up, that energy, to find a different way. Unfortunately, a lot of us, including myself, love the sword. And we'll keep fighting at it, and we'll wonder why we're not getting anywhere. The energy for swinging the sword could be going somewhere else. So, another example is Susan. A couple nights ago, she got a text. Her flight was canceled to Europe on Tuesday. What am I going to do? I have all my reservations, all of it. What am I going to do? Susan, sit down. I'm really good when it's her problem and not mine. Sit down. I'm going to get you a cookie. Cookies work, by the way. Gave her the cookie. I said, look, we're upset now. Let's watch a Hallmark rom-com. We'll forget all about it, and tomorrow morning, we'll figure it out. We'll find something. Adapting, see, this is the adapting piece. So, the point is when we accept the situation and basically give up trying to change it and make it better because we're all wrapped up in our wah about it, the power is when we move from, when we drop the sword, that's the surrender piece and that's the power. We gain power by dropping the sword. Now, how does that work? What John talked about with that bolt, he said, that bolt had me. That bolt, I gave it all my power. I gave it away to that bolt. The power of acceptance is taking that back from the bolt, taking your power back. And that's through acceptance, letting go of the idea that it should have been or could have been different than it actually is. It's just the way it is. And so acceptance is about getting rid of our bloated ideas of things could have been, should have been different. Just letting it go. And it's much harder than we think. Because when we know, something goes chunk in our body. It's not a mental thing. You know, intellectually, well, I can forget about all this. I can accept it. I can do this. I can do that. That's mental. But when you know, something goes boom, just could chunk in the body. So, in 2006, Susan and I went to an enlightenment conference in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in the wintertime. It snows there. You'd think other people would know that at the conference also. So 300 of us showed up. Some of us loved the snow. Some of us hated the snow and started whining and fighting and picking up their swords and slicing around. This is an enlightenment conference, right? It's pretty ironic, it really is. But by a couple days later, everyone was into the snow. It was snowing. It was slush on the ground. It was beautiful. It was cold. It was exactly the way it was. So either you fight it or you accept it. You really don't have a choice. And really the choice is how long do I want to suffer holding on to my idea that it should have been, could have been different? How long do I want to be right about something? Or do I just let it go? That's the question. The thing is can we give ourselves permission to fight for a little while? Can we accept the fact that we're going to blow it and we're going to fight sometimes? And that's included also. Well, there was this woman and she wanted to meditate and really be in a sacred, special spot. And so she went to this lake known for its specialness, right? Calm, beautiful, takes the boat and rows her way out in the middle of the lake. And there she's meditating. It's gorgeous. 15 minutes later, boom. What the? Something knocks into her boat. So she opens her eyes and looks. It's an empty boat. No one was driving the boat. Now, if we turn it back, when the boat hit her, something in her went into survival mode. She went into a wah. She picked up her sword. She was all ready to cut whoever was in the boat or whatever was going on, to cut them. But what happened when she opened up her eyes, there was nobody there to cut. When there's nobody there to fight, what do? You seem silly. So she dropped the sword, and there was something very memorable about it. It was the best part of her meditation was that seeing, that clarity that she got when she realized it was silly to fight. Now, if there's somebody in the boat, she's going to want to pick up that sword and tell him all about it. But there was nobody there. So we have an easier time when there's nobody in the boat, when you can't fight the rain. This is the way things are. Your flight got canceled. That's a little tougher, but it's still, who are you going to fight? But when there's somebody there that you can fight with, we can get hooked in. They should not have done that. No, not acceptable. They should know better. And I know you have a lot more to add to that. Ain't life grand. But you know, we learn on our tough days, not on our sunny days. When we get challenged, when we get pushed, that's when we grow the most. And if we can accept that as this is a blessing, being pissed off and being upset is a blessing because it wakes me up and it shows me where I can do better and it shows me how to adapt. And the more I am able to change and adapt and to move with the flow, to move with the Tao, which is the way, to move with the flow, the more peaceful I become. The more I fight, the more wah I am. And you know what that does to the body? It tightens up the body. Well, there's the story of the wise Zen panda. And he had a student, the cat. And they were on a pilgrimage to the temple in the woods. 3 days. On the second day, it started to rain, and they found themselves on this tall mountain, slippery, dangerous, windy, ha! And the cat was not feeling it at all. The panda, on the other hand, was la-di-da. This is fine. What did the panda know that the cat didn't know? Well, the cat, wanting to be preoccupied with something other than his circumstances, which he did not want this experience, turns to the panda and says, if I gave you 3 wishes, what would your wishes be? The panda, wise panda now, would think about it. The first wish would be to be on this mountain. The second wish would be on this mountain in the rain, in the wind, in the cold. And the third wish would be to be on the mountain in the rain, in the cold, in the wind, with you, my friend. I choose this experience that I'm having right now. That's what makes him a Zen master. That's what makes us all a master, if we could actually choose the experience that we're having right now. Wow. See if you can imagine, just imagine that. The ability to actually choose the pain, the joy, the whole spectrum of emotions. Because without knowing the whole spectrum of emotions, how do we become holy, whole, knowing all of the pieces and how they fit within the tapestry of life? And so, the panda accepted everything the way it was. And he told the cat, he said, Cat, I know you're suffering right now. But tomorrow it'll be sunny, we'll be off the mountain, it'll be a whole new experience. And perhaps there's something in this experience right now that's really important. So why miss this experience? Why not savor this experience, as painful as it is? The cat still wasn't feeling it. But that's okay, because the cat heard it. And each time we hear it, we remember something. Something resonates within us. I had back pain for 15 years. Chronic back pain. The type of pain where I'd like to cry myself to sleep at times. And I tried everything for 15 years. I became my back pain. That was my story. People would come up to me and say, "How's your pain? How's your pain today?" That's how they would greet me, you know. It's like, and I didn't know any better at the time. And after 15 years, I was so exhausted. I would try anything and did. So I heard on the radio, talk show is talking to this psychic, and something goes, "Go see her," like a voice, a loud voice, "Go see her." And I did. I walk into her little San Jose apartment and sit down here at their kitchen table. She looks over at me and goes, "You're such a nice guy. Why is this happening to you?" She's asking me. "You're supposed to be the psychic." No, she says, "I see you walking down this hallway. This hallway is like forever. And there's hundreds of doors in this hallway. And I see you wandering the hallway, looking in each door for an answer. Do you know what that means?" And I said, "Yes, I do. I know exactly what that means. And I know exactly what to do." Everything that I had been trying was opening up a wrong door. That's not where the resolution lied. The resolution was not in outside medical treatment. It was somewhere else. And it took me 15 years to get to that point. I'm a slow learner. And so what happened is I thanked her for that. Best $100 I ever spent. And she said, "You know what to do. You absolutely know what to do. You need to change your life. Completely change your life. You can't keep it on hold, waiting to get better in order to live." Wow. "And are you up for it?" I said, "Yeah, I'm up for it." And so from that moment forward, I declared, "I am healed of my back pain," or that whole story that I was telling about it. That didn't mean I didn't have pain. But the story is where the suffering lies. The story is where, because you can have pain and no suffering, but the story is the suffering. And that's what they call in Zen the second arrow. The first arrow is the pain. The second arrow is what our story is. And we do that to ourselves. Ow! And it hurts. It really hurts. When we recognize the second arrow, when we can accept the pain and the second arrow and what we've done to ourselves, something magical happens. The suffering starts to ease, and what's left is just the simple discomfort in the moment, which could be immense at times. But it always is moving. When we say we have pain, it is never the same intensity all through the day. It's always moving. So if we stay in the moment and examine and accept the moment, it's always changing. And if ever I were to look back in the moment, I could always endure the pain in the moment. It was my story that I couldn't endure. So, that leads us to Susan. If there's Susans in the room, hello. And we were at Asilomar walking on the beach at this retreat, this silent retreat. And so, of course, when you're silent, you're hearing better because... Anyhow, she's walking the beach, and the wave talks to her. It's like, what? And the message from the wave was, you're going to love this. You have no purpose. And she rejoiced. Now, for some people, that would sound like, oh, that's horrible. What am I going to do? I need to find my purpose. I need to improve. I need to do this. I need to do that. All gone in an instant. You have no purpose, which means I give you freedom. I give you freedom to be exactly as you are. The wave gave her permission to be exactly as she was. She didn't need to improve anymore. Can you feel the relief of not having to improve, to not have to get better at anything else, knowing that it'll all take care of itself in its own time, in its own divine unfolding, that we can actually relax and accept ourselves exactly the way we are. And just feel that. Yeah. No more worry, no more strife. Okay. So you get the feeling of it. Werner Erhard said, happiness is a function of accepting what is so. Accepting what is so. And I'll leave you with Ram Dass's wisdom. And he said, I'll have to remember what he said. Yes. Yes, the most successful people are those that can adapt to change the quickest. Thank you, Don. It takes a village. And on that, let's say out loud our affirmation. All right. Today, I fully accept myself exactly the way I am. I wouldn't change a thing. Blessings.